At the Playhouse in Brisbane's QPAC, activists were joined by Stan Grant to celebrate the 25th anniversary of the Mabo decision and talk about where native title was headed in Australia. Dr. Brian Keon-Cohen, AMQC, the junior counsel for the plaintiffs in the Mabo case, called on the federal government to release a report that could produce significant changes to how claimants could access native title rights. Titled Connection to Country, Review of the Native Title Act 1993, the report, written and presented by the Australian Law Review Commission, was delivered to the government and released to the public in 2015, yet the federal government has not made any comment regarding its recommendations. Dr. Keon-Cohen says the difficulties within the Native Title Act require immediate comment from the federal government, and its silence on this report is unacceptable.
Justices of the High Court have called the Native Title Act a very complex and very difficult and unwieldy piece of legislation. Justice of the Federal Court, Peter Gray, on his retirement, described the Native Title Act as a great disappointment to him, and indeed it's a great disappointment to many people, because it was a very minimalist, mean-spirited response to the potential of the Mabo decision. That report, after a lot of work and consultation with all stakeholders and research, was finalised and delivered to the government in April 2015. It's called Connection to Country, Review of the Native Title Act 1993. That report was delivered to the government, making substantial and important recommendations of a range of provisions in the Native Title Act, but especially the definition provision in section 223, and also involved in that section the very difficult onus of proof that native title claimants must overcome in order to secure a determination that they enjoy native title from the federal court. Now, that report was tabled in the federal parliament and thus made public in June 2015. That is over 2 years ago. Since then, there's been a change of government, and the Turnbull government and the Commonwealth Attorney General, Senator Brandeis, done absolutely nothing. They have issued no response in relation to that report. And I think it's totally unacceptable that the federal government sit on that report and do nothing about it. I think they are required, as a matter of good government and progressing this important area, and also introducing some substance into their political rhetoric about wishing to bridge the gap of Indigenous impoverishment and lack of opportunity. Here is an opportunity to substantially bridge the gap and assist Aboriginal people to access the native title system, yet the government continues to do nothing. So at the Mabo Oration in Brisbane on Monday night, I offered a resolution for the audience's consideration. That resolution was passed overwhelmingly by over 800 people, and it calls upon the federal government to respond to that report. The government is entitled to issue any response it wants to. It can accept or reject the recommendations in that report, but it should do whatever it wants to do and do it forthwith without further delay, and it will then be exposed to whoever wants to comment or criticise upon its actions. Strikes me as politically unacceptable and lacking in leadership to be fully aware of grave deficiencies in the Native Title Act and refuse to respond to a very careful, well-researched report recommending reform. So that the first 10 years were developing a jurisprudence of Native Title which was very restrictive. The commentators have been very consistent in saying that for the first 10 years, the Native Title Act in its critical sections, with amendments, particularly amendments introduced in 1998 following the Wick decision, the Howard government's 10-point plan, and the interpretations of the critical provisions of the Native Title Act by the High Court, all of those forces have, over the first 10 years of the life of the Act, led to very restricted and very disappointing outcomes for native title claimants. The initial 10 years delivered very difficult burdens of proof upon native title claimants, requirements that claimants prove traditional connection, uninterrupted, back to their ancestral communities in respect to the same land, back to sovereignty. That's 1788 on the Eastern Seaboard, or 1829 in South Australia, Northern Territory and Western Australia, and 1879 in the Torres Straits. The High Court interpreted the Native Title Act as requiring continuous practice of custom and tradition, virtually unaltered, back to sovereignty. The same society manifesting customs and traditions back to sovereignty. High Court also decided that many Crown grants extinguished or impaired native title under the provisions of the Native Title Act. These might be mining tenements, commercial leases, pastoral leases of various sorts, and so on.
According to Dr. Keon Cohen, commentators on this matter have been very consistent in saying that over the last 10 years, with amendments made to the Act during that time, and with interpretations by the courts, the Act has been incredibly restrictive in allowing claimants to access native title. Of particular concern has been the onus of proof required by claimants to prove their case. This is something that the report itself also mentions.
First 10 years, the Native Title Act in its critical sections, with amendments, particularly amendments introduced in 1998 following the Wick decision, the Howard government's 10-point plan, and the interpretations of the critical provisions of the Native Title Act by the High Court. All of those forces over the first 10 years of the life of the Act led to very restricted and very disappointing outcomes for Native Title claimants. The initial 10 years delivered very difficult burdens of proof upon Native Title claimants, requirements that claimants prove traditional connection, uninterrupted, back to their ancestral communities in respect to the same land, back to sovereignty. That's 1788 on the Eastern Seaboard, or 1829 in South Australia, Northern Territory and Western Australia, and 1879 in the Torres Straits. The High Court interpreted the Native Title Act as requiring continuous practice of custom and tradition, virtually unaltered, back to sovereignty. The same society manifesting customs and traditions back to sovereignty. High Court also decided that many Crown grants extinguished or impaired native title under the provisions of the Native Title Act. These might be mining tenements, commercial leases, pastoral leases of various sorts, and so on.
Despite the courts taking a more liberal approach to interpretation of the Native Title Act in the last 10 to 15 years, the report Return to Country makes many more recommendations that would enable people to access their claims and enjoy Native Title rights.
Time that politicians at the federal and state levels exercised some leadership in this area and dealt with this problem, because it remains a very serious problem in terms of delivering outcomes that the Native Title Act was intended to deliver. The current situation is that those communities most impacted by colonisation and settlement and dispossession, for example, up and down the entire Eastern Seaboard, because of the difficulties of burden of proof, are the very communities who most deserve some recompense and land justice after 200 years of colonisation, but are the very communities completely cut out of the benefits of the Native Title scheme. And if politicians aren't going to stand up and exercise some responsibility and leadership, I don't really believe them when they talk about closing the gap. So we're left with serious gaps in the Commonwealth government's response to the Mabo case. Those gaps continue today. The recommendations for reform by the Australian Law Reform Commission would help to close those gaps.
With the federal government's lack of comment regarding the recommendations in the report, Dr. Brian Keown-Cohen then goes on to describe what other options are available to native title claimants.
They have to resort to one of the remaining two packages of the Keating government's response to Mabo. The second item was Indigenous Land Corporation, allowing communities to purchase land on the open market. That is continuing as a parallel scheme, but is very inadequate for a whole range of reasons. In particular, if your traditional country is on land the subject of fee simple titles, well, no one can purchase it. And no one can purchase a whole range of pastoral leases if the pastoralists don't want to sell. The third element, a thing called the social justice package, which was supposed to compensate the very people that now can't access the native title scheme with other social or economic assistance. That social justice package, which was part of the parliamentary discussions leading to the Native Title Act, was discussed for about 2 years and then sank without trace, completely disappeared.
Dr. Brian Keown-Cohen says that the reason for his call out for the government to comment on this report is really to put political pressure on the federal government to make a comment so that progress can be made regarding the Native Title Act. This is what he would like us to do.
I hope your radio program and your listeners will ring up their local politician and send emails to the Attorney General encouraging the Attorney General of the Commonwealth, Senator Brandeis, to take action one way or the other.
Attorney General Senator Brandeis' response was not available at the time this story went to air. In response to Dr. Keown-Cohen's call for immediate comment on the report, his office wrote back, "The Australian government is developing a package of native title reforms, which will include responding to the recommendations of the Australian Law Reform Commission's report on Connecting to Country Review of the Native Title Act 1993. This reform will also consider previous recommendations, including those from COAG, Investigation into Indigenous Land Administration and Use, in 2015. The government is engaging with all stakeholders to develop this reform package. This will include public consultation on a proposal paper and establishing an expert technical advisory group of Indigenous government and industry representatives to provide technical assistance during the reform's implementation." The Australian Law Reform Commission released the Connecting to Country final report on the 30th of April 2015. Whether there is a formal government response to the ALRC report and what form that response takes is determined on a case-by-case basis. During negotiations with the opposition on the Native Title Amendment Indigenous Land Use Agreements Bill 2017, the Prime Minister wrote to the opposition leader on the 31st of March 2016 advising that it was the government's intention to address the ALRC report in a further Native Title Amendment Bill. On the 22nd of June 2016, the Attorney General and Minister for Indigenous Affairs wrote to the National Native Title Council seeking preliminary feedback on the unimplemented reforms from the ALRC report. The Attorney General's Department has sought initial feedback from peak industry representatives, including the Minerals Council of Australia and the National Farmers Federation, as well as states and territories. This feedback will inform the development of a proposal paper, which will be released for broader public consultation later this year.